Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am deeply grateful to be with you on this sixth day of November 2021. We're going to talk about the teacher, the spiritual teacher. What that's all about. I have received three or four questions over the last year or so, believe it or not. And I wait until I get enough interest or I get enough of the same question over and over again to kind of see if it's something that is serious, something that is important to people. And I'm convinced now that it is. I get a lot of questions about what it means to be a teacher or what my job is or what I'm trying to do. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not trying to save the world. I'm not a politician. I don't know if you could really describe the spiritual teacher. I've been one for about 50 years now, and I understand that it must be very confusing to the audience and everything else. So I'm going to make some comments here based on a couple of questions that I've received in the last, the last question I got about 3 years ago. And I contacted this person and said, I'm going to be doing this. And they're still there listening. So I'm going to be doing it. And I'm very, very grateful to have this honor. A spiritual teacher is hard to find, an authentic one. There are many who just put up a shingle and say that they are a little sign. They don't really know what they're doing. They're maybe well-read. That could be true. And they know the words to use, the key words, makes them sound like they're hip on the subject. Some of them like to go into yoga and ruin yoga. Yoga is really an art and a science and a spirituality all mingled together in one. But most people only know technique, and there is a big difference between understanding the nature of the subject of spiritual work, inner work. I call it the authentic. I don't call it spiritual, but it is. I just use the word authentic. And that of just being someone who knows the jive of it all, the words, the knowledge. Knowledge is not enough. Knowledge is a barrier and will never be a bridge to the way. And so there are very few of us teachers out there, very few, but we do exist. We're hard to find, and we're difficult to deal with in some ways, but more than worth it, I feel. So here we go. The first question comes from Kathleen in Alabama, Mobile, Alabama. I think I've heard of that. Mobile, Alabama, something like that. Okay, she asks, what is the difference between a spiritual teacher and a master? I don't understand what the word master or teacher means in regard to your work. Please explain. Kathleen. Kathleen, I have had the honor and the karmic privilege, I think of it as, to sit with quite a few enlightened persons, awakened. On Aspire, the TV series, I did a set of eight programs entitled The Call to India. And I actually sat in front of a camera with this beautiful woman who was deeply enlightened from the Brahma Kumari. Sect in India, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience with her. But I've sat with, briefly, I sat with Muktananda, Nisargadatta, Sai Baba, Krishnamurti, of course, I loved him, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, which my origins come from in the sense that I was in his ashram in India, not in the United States. So I have had some experiences with awakened individuals. And the difference between a teacher and an awakened master is not a differentiation I can make. I have no idea of their differences. I don't even think like that. I don't care. I am not analytical at all. And it would be just silly for me to sit there and give you comparisons, because every master that I've ever been with, every honor I've ever had, and I've had a couple of Zen masters that, my first one was in Lawrence, Kansas, believe it or not. So I've had the privilege of some very unique people in my life. And I don't sit there and analyze them. I just don't. It is not something that I'm there for. Who is this and why is that and da, da, da. I am there to become the student. Even now, as I listen to my tapes and things that I have had from the ashram that I kind of grew up in, I like sitting there as a student. I sit there with no mind, not listening to differentiations or ideals or anything like that. You don't listen to a teacher or a master with a mind that is filled with all sorts of questions, doubts, and fears. You have to just listen. And that means that you're not thinking in terms of right or wrong, moral or immoral, good or bad, or you're not thinking in terms of any of that. You're just sitting there listening without any sense of bias. So to answer your question, what is the difference? I have no idea. I really don't. And that's what makes answering this question very difficult. When you're involved within the state of an authentic practice, which is absolutely grueling to the ego, to the emperor of all malice in us, our emotionality, it is not something you can catch with your intellect. When you're in that kind of experience, your mind is not looking for comparisons, trying to pit one thought against another. One idea against another, one opinion against another. You're just not doing that. You're just, as I said, listening. And if you are devout in your effort, sincere in your effort to awaken, if you are absolutely convinced that transcendence is the only way out of this kind of situation where we find ourselves in this world, if you can do that, if you are available for that, then something of the other shore will start to happen within you, and you will start to awaken and realize that everyone is your teacher, everything is your teacher, every moment of your life is a momentum to love, to awakening. If you understand the devout way of living, which is to harness the challenge of the human body and its intellect and its impulses and its animalistic nature, if you can understand any of what I just said, then you're in a position not to challenge the idea of the difference between one or the other. You're just simply listening. And everything becomes your master. Your dog, your cat, the way you live in your community, the people around you, your worst enemy, your best friend, all of that becomes your great teacher, your great master. And if you are worthy of the teacher, if you are worthy of the master within you, then something unique can begin to unfold, and you can find the meaning and the significance of the totality of what it means to live. So there's my answer. I hope it helps you, Kathleen. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Vince, and 3 years, Vince, it took me to get to this with you. I'm sorry, but I just didn't get enough questions. People just, you know, they're not much interested in the kind of question you asked. He asked, what can you, meaning me, do to help the world as a spiritual teacher? Vince, you know, help is relative to a person's needs, their intellect, the state of their emotions, their genetics, their DNA, all of that. How do you help a person? I'm trying to help you now, and will I be able to? Well, it depends on you. I'm going to give you an answer, which I already am giving you that answer, and it will be up to you to decide whether or not it is in the scale of your life, in the ability for you to live your life in the mobility of the heart, and whether or not you're deeply interested in love. Here's the key. A spiritual teacher, an authentic one, is not one shoveling answers to you to help you get the things you want in this life, a better life, more money, a healthier body, whatever. It's not about that at all. It's about the awakening. It is about coming to a place where you drop the mind, you drop the body, and you become that which already is, that which is life itself. And if you're not willing to do that, then everything I teach, or everything any great teacher would offer, will seem like pettiness or stupid or illogical, nonsensical. Everybody's trying to go somewhere and get something from whatever it is they're doing. And in doing this and living in this way, they miss the significance of their own life. So what can I say to you? How can I help the world as a spiritual teacher? Well, I keep working and I keep doing everything I do to help. But I work in the auspice of love. And that love isn't the love that most people want or are akin to at all. They don't want the kind of love that is unconditional. People talk about unconditional love, but it's simply BS. It has nothing to do with conventional ideas and interpretations of love. Unconditional love. This love that I speak of is the breath of your own life. It is the breath of your spirit and your own life. And it requires a certain sacrifice that, if you're not willing to make, is going to harbor within you tremendous ignorance, guilt, and shame. You will miss. You will miss everything that is deeply important. So you've got to drop the person and awaken to the heart. And when you awaken to that, then the things you have to let go of, let's say in your world, the biology, the psychology, the whole idea of right and wrong, good and bad, even your morality, once that is dropped and you are no longer interested in the kind of things that sustain a pedestrian mentality, that is when the help is there. I can only point my finger to the moon. I can only show you where the moon exists. But if you bite my finger while I'm doing the pointing, then everything is lost. And that's an old Zen saying, don't bite my finger, look where I'm pointing. And that's what I'm trying to do with you and with people in general. And for some people it helps, and for others it is impossible. Impossible to help them. It's just not their time. I hope that helps. Thank you, Vince. Forgive me. Namaste. We will continue in this venue tomorrow, and I hope you'll join me. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.